Good morning, everyone, and TGIF made it through another week, and read some of the scriptures out of daily life this morning. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan. Just Lot, that righteous man. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember Lot's wife. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. Be not ye partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Genesis 13, 10 and 11, 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, Galatians 6, 7, Luke 17, 32, 2 Corinthians 6, 14, 17, Ephesians 5, 7, 8, 10 and 11. Well, this morning we are getting ready for the weekend. I hope you have a blessed weekend this weekend. And we see what happened with Lot. Good morning, Ashley. Hope you're having a good morning this morning. My son's having a difficult morning this morning. And so usually when that happens, you can't help but have an effect on you. You know what I'm saying? It affects everyone that you're around. Rahel Yahuk Puda Jahadi, welcome aboard this morning. We do have an impact on other people. What we say, what we do. And, you know, it's amazing. We can have either a negative effect or a positive effect. But it's all orchestrated by the sovereign hand of God. We must always remember that. In Him we live and move and have our being. I woke up this morning and I could tell my son was having difficulty, and the thought came to me, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit. You just let me take care of Mark. Larry, you just let me take care of Mark. Well, you know, sometimes it's not easy to be resigned to the will of God. You know, we can say all these nicety things and good things can come out of our mouth, but inside we still struggle, don't we? We'd be less than honest if we didn't admit the fact that we're in a battle, we're in a warfare. And I'm glad the Lord's taking care of Larry, too. If we look toward the future with just our natural eyes, the future looks dim and we do it despise. But if we look to the future with spiritual eyes, there's nothing grander for us to surmise. Eternal life with Christ, I find a wonderful thought. Oh, what a glorious future for God's people he has wrought. All sorrows, tears, and sufferings will forever be gone, and in paradise with Christ my Savior I will forever live on. So when we're, you know, if you want to use the term stuck in time, you ever feel like you're stuck in time? God's works are marvelous and great to think upon. On his mercy and grace we can rely. Our eternal future is better than any past memory. The communion and fellowship with him in the great by and by. But our fellowship is sweet now, even though clouded by a world of sin. Just think how much more precious it will be with him then. Not having this battle between the spirit and the flesh and the devil, but in the New Jerusalem, never again having to contend with evil. And this is all made certain by God's mighty work of redemption, granting us forgiveness and giving us admission into the greatest paradise we could ever imagine. He says he's preparing for us a place in heaven. His preparations are perfect and without any taints of sin. Thinking on God's works from beginning to end is a marvelous exercise for those who are born again. Well, thank you for your sentiments, Ashley. That was very kind of you. And I do appreciate your prayers for my son. And I remember you in prayer. Hope things are going as well as it can with your wife as well. Robert Morgan Sr., welcome aboard. We're glad to see you joined us this morning. Well, we've just read these scriptures about Lot. And can you imagine what Lot must have gone through? He thought he was doing the right thing when he made the decision to go amongst the plains. He seemed like it was going to be the best thing for him and his family because the plains were well watered, and but sometimes when we try to take the easiest route, we find out it's the toughest route. And that's what Lot found out. He pitched his lot close to Sodom, amongst the Sodomites. And it says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation on a daily basis. And then when God decided to destroy Sodom, Lot had even a bigger problem because some of his family didn't want to leave Sodom. They liked the conveniences. They liked the social aspect of the city and everything else. And we know that Lot lost his wife. Have you ever thought about, we often think about Lot's wife turning to a pillar of salt, but what kind of impact do you think that had on Lot and the rest of his family by his wife turning into a pillar of salt? So anyway, that's something that Lot had to go through, isn't it? And scripture says he's a righteous man. He was a righteous man. Well, we never know what we're going to have to go through down here in this life. I know that for me and my family, we like it much better living out in the country, not around a lot of people. And I heard a guy the other day make the statement, would you rather live in the country and visit the city, or live in the city and visit the country? I'll take number one. I'd rather live in the country and visit the city, because I can just spend very little time there and come back out of it. And, you know, we're told to come from the world to be separate, say, Lord. That doesn't mean we're supposed to live in a monastery, okay? Live a monastic life. Almost every day we get out, and there's a little town here close to us called Pea Ridge, Arkansas. And it's just a nice little town. It's about 5,000 people. And there's everything in that town that we need, okay? There's a Walmart. We can do our shopping. There's a post office. There's a bank. There's even a McDonald's. But, you know, the aspect of this coming out from the world be separate is a spiritual aspect of things. You know, that's why we don't attend a brick and mortar denominational church, is because things have gotten so bad in these denominations, even in what would be construed as those who teach the truths of God's word, but they still want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, so to speak. Church is not a place you go to. I don't know how many times people have asked me, where do you go to church? And I smile at them and I say, well, church is not a place you go to. Church is representative of the bride of Christ. So if you're asking me where we happen to worship at home. You know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of thee. Now, it's true that we fellowship with other Christians, even though we're worshiping here at home. You know, that's why we... That's why we, every week, fellowship with brothers from and sisters from Tennessee and a brother from California and all of you folks there on the Facebook. Ashley's from Australia. I don't know where Robert Morgan and Rahel's from, but it doesn't matter where you're from. You know, people say, well, you have to worship in a local assembly. Well, we're local. We're right here in Pineville. You know. See, people use this as a means of trying to control people. To try to get you under their thumb. I have a friend of mine, Rick Vitorik, and he says, I worship in a round church. I said, a round church? He goes, yes. We make sure that we're in a round church so no one puts us in a corner. You know, that's a lot what organized religion is about, is putting you in a corner. Trying to get control over you. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Jesus Christ was the personification of pure love. Laid his life down freely for us. And his actions demonstrated his true love. Well, Lot was vexed while in Sodom. We're in Sodom too. Are we vexed like Lot was? Do we abhor evil too? Or are we drawn away of our own lust and enticed? God help us in the midst of all this vice. Turn our eyes to you, we pray this day, and then our thoughts and mind will be on you. Turn us again, and we will be turned. You make all things move. Give us a hatred for sin and cause us to run from it. Give us your continued grace and mercy so that in heavenly places we can sit. Let us not be conquered by sin and death and hell. Let us cry out to you when our weak flesh has fell. Only you can give us victory over prevailing sin and cause us to walk in truth until the very end. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Even in the midst of Babel and God, we only trust. So this morning, yes, we are living in perilous times. Yes, we are living in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, we see this culture that we're living in becoming more and more debauched all the time. But God is the one who can cause us to keep our eyes fixed on Him. And so I want to conclude this morning with this thought. We are told to give praise to our Lord and Savior. We should be forever grateful for His unmerited favor. Our praise should come forth in a variety of ways. The fruit of our lips should we sing every day. With gratitude and thanksgiving, we should Him laud and bring endless praises to the one up above. For He's the only one worthy of our love and adoration, for He is the one who brought us eternal salvation. Both honor and praise we bring to our King, and we look forward in heaven when we will then sing. With the angels around His great throne, an anthem of glory will be that great song. Well, I hope you have a blessed Friday today. And let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're in my prayers, and I hope you will also keep me and my family in your prayers as well. God bless.